Week two tonight, Denton gets underway. Buffalo at Miami in Thursday night football. That's a pretty good Thursday night week two game. I kind of feel like in previous years, we don't get a good week two Thursday night game. Last year it was Vikings-Eagles. I guess that's not terrible. But the year before that, the year before that was Chargers-Chiefs. What am I talking about? It just seems like you get the big one for the first game of the year, and then that first Thursday night after the first full Sunday of the year tends to be kind of a letdown game. But tonight should be a good game. Looking forward to it. I actually have a smell test pick for tonight, but it's not on the NFL game. It's on one of the two college games that will be played tonight. And I will share that with you at some point during the show. So I want to start the show with this that I got from DK yesterday. DK writes, "What's your smell test record on Washington games, Kevin? Because you're probably going to have the Giants this week." DK knows me well, and he's implying that my record with the smell test on games involving Washington is pretty good, because it has been 64.5% over the years on games involving Washington with the Friday football smell test, whether it's having the skins themselves or having the opponent. Last year, I had Washington in the smell test six times. That's a lot for a year. I had them in it six times, and I was 4-2 on those games. So that's actually better than what the average was heading into last year. I think it had dipped from 64-65% down to 62 or something like that. 4-2 last year. And by the way, among the four wins, I had the Giants twice against Washington in the smell test. I had them when they lost 14-7 in the Meadowlands. That was week 7. The Giants were 3-point underdogs in that game. Tyrod Taylor had a good game. And then I had Tommy DeVito and the Giants at FedEx a few weeks later, getting 9 against Washington, and they won the game outright 31-19. I also had Arizona in the opener. That was a winner. I had Washington at Seattle. That was a winner. And the two losers were Thanksgiving Day. I had Washington against the Cowboys. They got routed, and I had them plus 7 against the Rams late in the season, and they lost by 8. So for those of you who bet football, you'd take 4-2 and be thrilled. That's a pretty good hit rate. And yet, 64.5% over the years in games involving Washington. And yes, DK, you wrote that to me because you sensed that I was going to have the Giants in the smell test tomorrow. And right now, as of right now, that's like 99.9% a given. The number's down to 1. There is massive sharp money on the Giants. I think, Denton, it was on the show yesterday. I told you during one of the breaks, right, that I got a text from somebody who I get information from. And what did I tell you? I said, oh, my God, I'm going to have the Giants on Friday, right?
You did say that, yeah.
And it was it's going to be one of the biggest needs for sports books everywhere on Sunday. Now, what's funny about that is that on my podcast yesterday, I titled the podcast "A Giant Trap," as in, like, Washington, beware, this is a trap game. And I got this from Hal. Hal writes, "Washington has a trap game? Have you lost your mind, Sheehan? You're such a homer." I get it. I know what you're saying. You know, Washington does not clearly, at this point, deserve the trap game designation. You know, they got blown out just as badly as the Giants did on Sunday. But that wasn't really what I meant. Like, I'm not looking at it from the perspective of Washington better be aware. You know, they're much better than the Giants, but this is one of those games. It feels a little bit, you know, weird. And no, they're both, you know, coming off week one blowout losses. But here's the big difference. And Denton, I think you would agree with me on this because we talked about this earlier in the week. And it actually raises a question that I'm going to ask all of you. Right now, after 1 week of NFL football, you know, everybody reacting and overreacting and, you know, just so much being written about week one. There's a couple of interesting things that came out of week one, by the way, especially as it relates to passing yards, but we'll get to that later. But I don't think there's a team in the league being mocked more than the New York Giants, and I don't think there's a player in the league being mocked more than Daniel Jones after week one. And the perception going into Sunday for the average NFL fan, and probably the average, well, definitely the average NFL bettor, is that Washington's better because the Giants are horrible and Daniel Jones is horrible. You agree with me? Do you agree with me on that or not?
I definitely do, because as we talked about a little bit yesterday, players are jumping in on it. Like, how often do you see players mock other players? There's kind of like this unspoken fraternity to where, unless you got like beef with somebody, you're not going to talk ill about them to the media, but everybody is opening fire on Daniel Jones. It's been that way this whole offseason.
Yeah, and, you know, he stood up yesterday, you know, Wednesday's quarterback day for NFL teams, to sit in front of the media, and he said, you know, basically every question was about his mental state at this point. And he said, quote, "I feel like I've been doubted plenty for a long time and dealt with that time and time again and done a good job with it. I think my mental toughness is in a good spot. I'm not concerned about that." Close quote. He talked about how, you know, "I'm just focused on my job and I am focused on the people in this building." But he's under siege, and Brian Daboll, by extension, is under siege. The Giants, this is like, you know, I'm sure the Giants are like, thank God we have Washington this week. And in Washington's case, let me back up for one moment. I'm not overreacting personally. If they lose, and I actually have an expectation of them losing because of the way I view games based on point spreads and gambling, I'm not jumping ship. I'm still going to be positive. This is week two. This is a long game here. I know I predicted 10-7. And if they start 0-4, I'll probably say at that moment, yeah, that probably doesn't look good right now. But it's too early to bail on what Adam Peters did in the offseason, what he's planning on doing next offseason and the offseason after that, on Dan Quinn and his staff, on Jaden Daniels and all the new players. They're just too new to really get overly worked up about the results. Now, I'd like to see more urgency, more compete, more, you know, desperation, more flying around. The identity thing, you know, that Dan Quinn's talked about. I think he'd like to see more of that as well. I'd like to not, you know, hear, you know, next week about how there were encouraging things that were pulled out of the game, that, you know, the pass rush, you know, was good and nearly got home. And I mean, we're going to have things that you pull out and you're like, okay, that wasn't bad. But we can talk about those things. I don't want to hear those things from them if they lose to the Giants. This game for them is a game that, it feels, for the what they want accomplished here in this season, you know, even if deep down they would tell you, yeah, we're not a playoff team. I think actually they believe that if things break right, they could be in the mix. But if deep down they're like, yeah, we're just not good enough. You know, our personnel is just not good enough to compete with some of the teams that we have to compete with. But they also understand that there was excitement and optimism heading into this season, perhaps more than any season in recent memory. And that starting off 0-2 with a loss to Daniel Jones and the Giants at home, you're going to have people that kind of scurry away for a while and say, yeah, tell me when this thing starts to turn around. And I just think, and I think we talked about this the other day, like from a business standpoint, it probably would have been better if, like, the Ravens were the opponent, because they have the Ravens. Although the Ravens game is not at home, right? Do they play the Ravens at home or on the road?
I think it's on the road. Baltimore.
Yeah, it would be better, like, if the Steelers were in town or the Cowboys were in town. You know, because this is not, if they lose Sunday, it's going to feel worse than just a normal run-of-the-mill loss. You know, this organization has been in this mode of low expectations for a long time and not expecting much. I mean, this has been a fan base that's become a victim over the last quarter century. And so they're not, you know, the expectations aren't that, you know, this team's going to be nice to us. I understand that. But there was more enthusiasm and more excitement and more willingness to sort of embrace this particular, you know, season and the changes. And I think it's important that they beat the Giants to keep those people involved. I think it's important for all of us, too. This is a big game. It's a big game Sunday for that reason, that they will risk losing a lot of the kind of goodwill, excitement, optimism, benefit of the doubt. All right, you know, I've dubbed myself during this offseason benefit of the doubt, Kev. That's not changing if they lose to the Giants. It's not. I promise you it's not. But I think it will be at risk with a lot of people that are also in that boat or have been in that boat of giving them the benefit of the doubt. I don't think it would be fair after two games. I think it would be a massive overreaction. And I'm not going to overreact no matter what the result looks like. My preference would be that Jaden looks really good if they go down Sunday. Because really, ultimately, this season's about getting it right there. And I'd love to see a step forward from last week, which was a solid B performance. Like, if they're going to lose, I hope it's 35-34. And like a shootout. And Jaden's just incredible. And that would mean probably that Daniel Jones was pretty good, too. Who's the backup quarterback? I know we've talked about this before.
I think it's still DeVito.
No, it's what's his face? Who played for Seattle? Who, the Missouri quarterback?
Ah, you're right, Drew Lock. DeVito's the third.
Yeah, Drew Lock. Yeah, I'll tell you what, he can't be that far away from stepping in. I bet you this is it for Jones.
Well, it's funny. Like, so you read that quote about he's just concerned with the people in his building. But, like, the people in his building were on a Hard Knock show dissing him. Everybody hates this dude. So I think you're right.
Hold on for 1 second, because I don't know anything about him personally. You're not saying that they hate him personally. They just
not personally.
Don't think he's good.
But remember, there was that Hard Knocks clip where they're, like, questioning, like, we don't know if Daniel's our guy after they had just paid him that $160 million contract. Which usually,
well, there was the excitement over just the you know, what somebody said about Jaden Daniels, would you? And they said, absolutely.
Absolutely, right.
So I want to ask everybody a question. I want to get a feel for whether or not you sense that this is kind of a big moment. I just early this morning, because Tommy had a commitment this afternoon, I recorded my podcast with Tommy earlier, and somehow we came around to the DEFCON scale, which I really like right now. Do you know which is the worst, DEFCON 5 or DEFCON 1? Do you know, Denton?
I think it's DEFCON 5, right?
No, DEFCON 5 is the lowest state,
really?
Of readiness. DEFCON 1 is nuclear war is imminent. So that's the most severe. And I kind of said to Tommy, I'm like, I kind of feel like this is a DEFCON 3 situation going into it. By the way, DEFCON 3 is described or defined as increase in force readiness above that required for normal readiness. Kind of feels that way. That this is kind of above the normal state of readiness. And it shouldn't be with a new regime, new players, rookie quarterback. I get it, and it's not for me. I want to be really clear. That's not where I am. I'm at DEFCON 5. Although Tommy made the point, he said, look, the organization's been at DEFCON 4 for 25 years. it's been at an increased intelligence watch and strengthened security measures for 25 years. It's never been in the lowest state of readiness. That's probably true. So I've just moved it up one notch. Is this a really important game, or is it just another game where you want to just see progress? You know, you want to see Jaden, you know, get a little bit better. You want to see the defense improve a little bit more. You want to see a number two wide receiver emerge. You'd like to see Terry get the ball a few more times. You'd like to see Emmanuel Forbes, who, by the way, has a splint on his hand because he injured his thumb. I'm going to be interested to see what his snap count is Sunday. Quinn said he's going to be fine. He's going to be ready to play. We'll see by the time we get to Sunday. Where are you on the DEFCON scale going into this game? DEFCON 1 being nuclear war is imminent. DEFCON 5, lowest state of readiness. I think this is there's an increased like urgency level here to beat the Giants. And it's really not about, you know, the football team and what they're going to be in week 7 and week 10 and week 12. It's more about how a lot of people are going to react to an 0-2 start, which would include a loss to Daniel Jones. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Several guests on the show today. We've got Art Stapleton, who covers the Giants for USA Today. He'll be on with us at 11 a.m. Charch will be with us at 11:25. Jordan DeJani from CBS Sports will be on with us at 12:35. We've got NFL power rankings today, and I do have a college football smell test later on in the show. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app. So I guess the best way to ask this at 301-230-0980 is not necessarily the DEFCON scale, because we're going to get everybody confused on that. Just describe Sunday's game importance against the Giants. Is it a must win? Is it, no, you just have to be better than last week? We just need to see improvement? Or it's early, any result is fine. I'm in it for the long run. It's a long game proposition now. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. I think for them and the business of the team, I think it's between must win and got to be a lot better than last week. For me personally, right now, any result is fine. I just can't possibly get myself worked up over 31 new players, a new coaching staff, a new regime, and after the second week being alarmed that it's going so poorly. This from, where is it? This from Bal Alassan. A loss Sunday will be big because all of the hype DC press put on this new team didn't prove nothing yet to me. Been waiting since 92. Big Blue struggling, can't win. So DQ and Peter's choices are on the tablet. I guess that means kind of on the they're up front and center right now. Not for me. Long game for me. Yeah, I know I picked 10-7. I get it. It's more of a hunch, more of a hope, more of trying to be optimistic, which being optimistic for the first time. But it's going to clearly take some time. Or maybe it won't. Maybe week one really is what it is typically, and just a massive head fake, and they come out and destroy the Giants. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Describe Sunday's game. Must win, just be better than last week, show some improvement, or it's way too early. I'm not going to get worked up over any result on Sunday. Phone lines are open. Adam in D.C. Adam, go ahead. Adam, you there?
The team is not good. Yep, Kevin, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I got you now. Go ahead, Adam.
Okay, Kevin, this team is not good. You know, they traded the two defensive ends last year. They whiffed on the defensive back, taking the first round. You know, they brought in an old tight end. They got an old new middle linebacker. You got to understand, this is a complete rebuild. This is a 3-4 year process. And if people bought into the hype over the off season, you know, that's a mistake. You know, it's okay to be positive and like your team, but this is a full rebuild, and this year is all about finding out if Jaden is the guy. And you have to be patient, and that's all it is. If they give me the same record as last year, just accept it and hope the culture is getting better. That's it.
So, Adam, like what you said about Jaden, I completely agree with. This season ultimately is about making sure that you got it right at quarterback. That's the most important thing. The one thing you said, though, I don't think there was a lot of hype over the team being good. I think many more people than not heading into the season didn't expect this team to have a winning record. But the issue is once you get into the season and they're playing these games and you get absolutely blown out in your first game, which, by the way, was probably pretty jarring. It was a bit of a come-to-Jesus moment, I think, for everybody out there. I don't think they expected that to happen in the first game. But it's week one. You chalk it up to week one, whatever. But the setup for week two with the team they're playing and the massive, massive issues that that team and that quarterback is having, I just think could set people off. It's not going to set me off, and it sounds like it's certainly not going to set you off. By the way, I don't think it's a 4 to 5 year rebuild. They would not be around for the fourth or fifth year if you're not good until the fourth year. But I think it's more about the team they're playing and what that would mean if they lost to that team. That's all. All right, let's go to Robert in Annapolis. Robert, go ahead.
Well, good morning. From a fan's perspective, could it be considered one of those Jay Gruden code red games? Wasn't Jay Gruden the one that...
Yeah. No, I don't think it is. Nobody's job is on the line. Jay's job was on the line in that game.
All right, let me comment on this. You're talking about future growth and development. Kevin, let's go 2 years from now. Other than Jaden Daniels, Sam Cosmi, and maybe Frankie Louvu, and it's a few draft picks from this year, what players will be developing to be integral part of that team? These players having good games this year, they're not – these 20-plus players that Peter's brought in, they're just – staff, they're temps. They're temp players. They're not going to be developing.
Hold on. Armstrong and Louvu, you mentioned, and Chin, and like you said, all of the draft choices, and Tyler Biadasz. These are
part of the building blocks towards something.
But most of them, you're right, were one-year deals, and they're like, you know, let's figure out if there's anything there.
Kevin, Chin isn't going to be here in 2 years.
I think they're hoping he'll be here in 2 years. He's 26 years old, and he's got a lot of talent.
But maybe the second round pick, the defensive lineman, maybe he'll develop into something. I can't remember the other players they picked, but it's going to depend on the players they pick this year, and then the next two drafts, and then some, you know, young high performing free agents that they may sign over the next 2 years. I would, as a fan, if I was a fan, I'd fear for Jaden Daniels' health this year. That's what my big fear would be, because you watched that play last week and it's only one game. The plays that were made were not planned plays. They were not scripted plays for the most part. They were just Jaden Daniels being Jaden Daniels, okay? So let's hear what the other folks say, but that's my input on an objective perspective.
Yeah, Thanks, buddy. I think the theme here early in taking these calls is that they're just not very good, and that's probably true. I mean, I don't think it's true because of what happened in week one. I think it just may be true because you look at the players and you evaluate the players and you're like, yeah, I mean, Nick Allegretti, Andrew Wiley, you know, hopefully Brandon Coleman comes through. You don't have a number two receiver. You don't have a starting corner at all. Your pass rush, you know, which was actually kind of effective, but didn't really complete the cause last week, is still in question. The old tight end remark. But you drafted a young tight end. You hope to see Ben Sinnott at this point. But I, you know, a Jeremy Chin, a Dorrance Armstrong, a Frankie Louvu, you know, Chin's issue really is health. You know, just specific to him, like they weren't going to, he didn't get a multi-year deal. He was on the train, the car on the train that was the most packed, which was the one-year deals. But that's because he's got to prove that he can stay healthy. When he's been healthy, he's been a good player. Let's go to Joe in Springfield. Joe, how would you describe this weekend's game against the Giants? Is it a must-win? Is it a just improve from last week? Or is it, it doesn't matter, any result will be fine. This is a long game. Go ahead.
Hey, Kevin. Well, first of all, I'm on vacation in Cape May, New Jersey, enjoying the beach, but I'm glad to take this call, and this is how I'll be going to the game on Sunday. So that's first off, but, you know, I can go back to the beach later on. But I would say that as long as we improve this Sunday compared to last Sunday, because again, Kevin, you pressed on this earlier this week, we were facing a team in week one that had everybody back from the team last year in the Buccaneers, who had been to the playoffs. I would love to improve it this week against the Giants. And I know everybody keeps saying, well, Daniel Jones is not a good quarterback, but you know something, Kevin, 5-1-1 against Washington. I mean, that one loss was lucky for us because that we beat him, because luckily we got a second chance on an offsides on the Giants to take a second field goal again to get a second chance. But, you know, it's just, yeah, I mean, I would, as much as we can improve, but at the same time, Kevin, can we please beat Daniel Jones once? Because Daniel Jones always seems to have a stink against the rest of the league, but play like a Hall of Fame quarterback against Washington. It would be nice to do that once in a while, and could I see an improvement? Yes.
I think this is part of it.
Maybe that would have fired
us. This is part of why I sense that a lot of people are going to be distraught if they lose to the Giants Sunday. It's, you got to be kidding me. This guy stinks, and he's owned us, and now he owns the new regime, too. That's not a good sign. Thank you, Joe. We put out a Window Nation Twitter poll for the day. Describe Sunday's game against the Giants. Must win, just be better this week, meaning than last week. Any result is fine because, you know, you believe that this is way too early to panic. Right now, just a few votes because we just put it up, but 60% say it's must win. And I kind of feel like people view this as we can't lose to the Giants in that guy. Lou, go ahead.
What's going on, Kevin? How you doing,
hey,
man?
Hey, Lou, what's up, man?
I'm in a no-panic mode, Kevin, because, like I keep saying, I mean, these guys literally just took over from the other regime, and we got to give these people time. I mean, I don't understand the urgency of us trying to get a W so quick and try to be a contender within a year or two. These guys literally just got here. What is going on? I'm not understanding what's going on. Like, I mean, can we give these guys some time?
You can't tell people. You're a part of the fan base. I am as well. You can't tell anybody in this fan base, or you can't lecture people in this fan base about being patient.
Right.
That's at this point insulting because the patience is 33 years and counting. With that said, you can come to your own conclusion that it makes sense to give these guys a long leash, be patient, give them the benefit of the doubt. I feel that way, and I think you feel that way as well. I think this, you know, circumstance of the opponent that they're playing Sunday in week two and the quarterback of that team and how he's been vilified and really mocked throughout the NFL world for the last week, by the way, not just the last week, that there just will be a sick feeling and a lot of stomach pits if they lose to him and that team Sunday. Right? Did we lose Lou?
He gone.
We lost him. I didn't ask you. What's your answer to this?
So I voted on the poll. I voted B, just get better. You know, I want to see the offense look a little more fluid. We kind of saw it at points, it felt like, this weekend. But from a personnel standpoint, like, I want Austin Eckler to be involved early. I want it to be a real focal point to get guys like Terry McLaurin involved early. He shouldn't be getting his first reception, you know, late in the third quarter. I just want to see a little bit more fluidity, and I want to see, you know, Jaden look comfortable. I thought he looked good this weekend. I just want to see him continue to get more and more comfortable. So I don't necessarily care too much about the result itself. I just want to leave this weekend saying, all right, Jaden got better. The offense looked better. Let's keep this thing rolling.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see the improvement. It's not going to surprise me if in week two there's not obvious improvement from some of the areas that we saw against Tampa Bay that were concerning. But again, I'm not concerned because it's week one, and I think the first few weeks, it takes a while. I'm just reading some of the tweets that are coming in. This from Mikkel. Mikkel, if I mispronounced it, sorry. A loss Sunday would be a gut punch, but it wouldn't be a death blow. I think that's really describes it. Like, it's going to be a gut punch for a lot of people, okay? But it's certainly, even for the people that are like feeling, I need to see something that tells me that we got the right coach, we got the right general manager, we got the right quarterback, we got some of the right players. And certainly beating the Giants would be an indication in that direction that we got it right, and a loss wouldn't. But it's so people are going to feel that way, but you certainly shouldn't feel like it's a death blow. From Jones P., you have to beat the Giants. You have to win division games. This team has owned us. Quinn better be on high alert and get it done. Yeah. Okay. I hope he's on high alert for all the non-division games, too. I hope he was on high alert last week. Yeah, I mean, the whole division thing, that to me is like, get 17 games, you get six against division opponents. It's important, you know, and it's important for these, you know, feelings that you have for some of these teams. But ultimately, it's, it's barely a little bit more than a third of your season. You got to be good against the other 11 teams as well. You got to do really well against those teams as well. All right. Okay. Vote on the poll. Window Nation is the sponsor of the Twitter poll, and we love Window Nation. But I do think it's interesting so far, Denton. Not a lot of votes, very early, but must win is the leading answer. And that's kind of why I brought it up, because I just kind of have this gut feel that a lot of people out there are going to be really angsty and really nervous and even borderline checked out if they lose to the Giants, which is a distinct possibility on Sunday based on the point spread and the way the betting's going. All right. The passing yards in week one in the NFL were among the most, some of the most depleted, lowest numbers we've ever seen. Why is that? More on that next.
Nats get back in the win column yesterday. They beat the Braves 5-1. Jake Irvin pitched six innings, allowing one run on two hits with five strikeouts. Both Dylan Cruz and James Wood drove in a run for the Nationals. They take on Miami at 6:45 tonight. Mitchell Parker going to be on the mound. Big news in the world of college athletics. Just when you thought conference realignment was over, it pops right back up. And that means the Pac-12 is back. Four teams leaving the Mountain West to join the Pac-12. Boise State, Colorado State, San Diego State, and Fresno State. So from the Pac-12 to the Pac-2 to eventually the Pac-6. No word exactly when they're going to jump over and join. But the Pac-12 isn't dead yet. And in the WNBA, Asia Wilson breaks the WNBA scoring record. She has 956 points this season, breaking Jewel Lloyd's record of 939 last year. She looks to become the first WNBA player in history to score 1,000 points in a season. And that's what's trending.
Before we get to passing yards in week one, this from ML for 1,000. I guess that would be Moneyline for 1,000. Code Red Game. I've got the G-men, and it ain't going to be pretty around here on Monday. From Zachary, you nailed it. When Harris said we better be better than last year, these are the games he's talking about. Losing to the Giants twice last year was embarrassing. From Mo, the caller that said that this is a five-year rebuild, the NFL doesn't do rebuilds, and the coach himself said this wasn't a rebuild, this was a rework. Actually, I think the term he used was recalibrate. not rework. Yeah, there are no 5-year, 4 to 5 year rebuilds in the NFL. That's not, no owner is going to put up with that. But I think the long game is in play here, and I certainly don't think that Harris's expectation for this year is to be what I predicted, 10-7 and be in the playoffs. I don't think that that's necessarily what they're expecting. I think what they certainly would like to see is a competitive team that's building an identity, that got it right with the quarterback, and keeps everybody interested through the 17-game slate. And then you start to really look forward to 2025. And I think what happens with a lost Sunday is a lot of people that were in benefit of the doubt mode, perhaps, you know, bail from that mode. Maybe. I'm not going to. I'm not going to at all. All right. So really interesting numbers from week one. And again, it's week one, but there's some comparisons to other week ones that are alarming if you're the league office and you want passing yards and passing touchdowns and scoring, etc. So week one of the 2024 NFL season saw a dramatic downturn in passing numbers compared to the last 5 years. Passing touchdowns were down, yardage decreased significantly, and the number of starting quarterbacks who threw for fewer than 200 yards increased dramatically. In week one, only two quarterbacks threw for more than 300 yards. Matt Stafford threw for 317 on Sunday night against the Lions, and Tua Tagovailoa, who plays tonight, threw for 338 in their comeback win over the Jags. Five QBs threw for 300-plus yards last year in week one, and only 5 years ago, 2019, 13 quarterbacks threw for at least 300 yards in week one. And so now this, so it went from 13 in 2019 to last year, five, to this year, two. But even more worrisome is that in week one, the number of quarterbacks who failed to reach 200 passing yards dwarfed the number of 300-yard passers in 2019. Last week, 17 quarterbacks threw for fewer than 200 yards. By the way, Caleb Williams was the lowest with 93 passing yards. He was the only sub-100-yard starting quarterback. They won the game with special teams and defense. In 2019, only eight quarterbacks threw for fewer than 200 yards in week one. Touchdowns. In 2019, there were 61 passing touchdowns in week one. This year, 34. There was one on Monday Night Football. 34. It went from 61 in 2019 to 52 in 2020 to 61 in 2021 to 51 in 2022. Last year, there was a big drop-off to 37. This year, to 34. So 300-yard passers, way down. Sub-200-yard passers, way up. And touchdowns, way down. Why, Denton?
Yeah, that's a good question. I was wondering, because I was watching some of the games this weekend, and it's not like the quarterbacks have gotten worse. Maybe it's that the defenses have gotten a little more complex. Like, let me just throw this out there. I don't think this has anything to do with the lack of four preseason games, because everybody raves about it. But I do find it interesting that when you cut down the amount of preseason games, it feels like the numbers right out of the gate get lower and lower and lower, as if the fourth preseason game does help these teams and these quarterbacks get into more of a rhythm. That 2 week off period, sometimes three, depending on if you play in that third preseason game or not, really seems to affect quarterbacks.
I think there's a lot of things at work here. Like I read this early this morning. Actually, Ivan, our longtime caller, Ivan actually sent me an email, and he said, "What do you make of this?" I'm like, "It's really interesting." And then I just started reading a bunch of things, and I think it's a combination of a lot of things. I think it's legit that because it's week one and this is where the trend has been, even though passing yards in general and scoring actually has been down in recent years, scoring was actually up a little bit week one compared to last year. Look, they want passing yards. They want points. The league does. There's no doubt about that. But I think there's a lot of things. And I think I disagree with you to a certain extent on the preseason. I think that passers and receivers need to get into a rhythm. There's a there is more of a precision in passing offense. And if it's not done in a real game environment, then essentially these early games are acting as these preseason games used to act. Now, it's been many years, and it's before 2019 that we started to see teams really drop back on quarterback play, starter play, etc. in the preseason. But I think there's something there with that. But at the same time, it affects defense too. I mean, tackling is always, you know, it's an abomination typically in the first few weeks of the season because they haven't done it really in the preseason. So defenses are affected as well. There are a couple of other things. This is what I just wrote these things down, and then I started reading about some of the answers, and some of them matched, some of them didn't. But these were my original thoughts. Number one is, you know, we talked last year a lot about the offensive line here and how bad it was. And I kept reminding everybody that some of the advanced numbers didn't really suggest that it was a terrible offensive line. And the reason for that is there's just a lot of bad offensive line play in general across the league. Why is that? Well, college football is much different than the NFL, and college football is not developing offensive linemen for the NFL like it used to, you know, because it's spread. The splits are different. The rules are different. You know, in the RPO game, they get 3 yards downfield. It's a lot more passing. It's a lot of two-point stance, never three-point stance. And that's been something that's been happening for a while. So offensive line play in general isn't very good. Then you add to that, in recent years, the willingness to play rookie quarterbacks in week one. You know, we had three of them start this week, and there were years, you know, leading up to the last 5, 6, 7 years where you didn't have rookie quarterbacks. If you had them, maybe one or two. So maybe it's the increase of rookie quarterbacks playing in week one. But then also, think about this, because I think this might really be the number one reason. We've lost a lot of great quarterbacks from the game in the last few years. Brady's not in the game anymore. Breeze isn't in the game anymore. Rivers isn't in the game anymore. Roethlisberger's not in the game anymore. Matt Ryan, who was prolific there for many years, not at the very end of his career, not there anymore. You know, Aaron Rodgers didn't play last year. I mean, he played 4 plays, and then he's coming off a serious injury. So even he's not back to being Aaron Rodgers. When you look at the lists of the best quarterbacks in the game, and everybody does, you know, their preseason rankings of tiers of quarterbacks, etc., the quarterbacks now that are in the top 10 area, it's a lower quality overall. There's not as much depth at the quarterback position, in part because we lost a lot of really good quarterbacks to retirement. I mean, there was the 2010s, I mean, you had prolific passing quarterbacks. You know, I'm not even talking about Peyton, who's been out of the game for a while, or Eli, who's been out of the game for a while. You know, Eli was prolific at times in terms of yards and passing. But really, the people that I mentioned most recently, you know, Brady and Breeze and Roethlisberger and Rivers. So I think it's more that. Because I think if you had great quarterbacks, and we have some very good quarterbacks, but keep in mind, of the top three quarterbacks, if you say Pat Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, and Josh Allen are the top three quarterbacks in the game, one of them is really an MVP, two-time MVP, as much for his running as it is for his passing and passing yardage. One of them who's not won the MVP but will be in the MVP conversation and has been in it, Josh Allen, is also a bit of a dual threat guy who does damage with his legs as much as he does with his arms, with his arm. And then Mahomes obviously had a drop off last year in touchdown passes. He's capable certainly of going for 50 or more, you know, in a season. So I think it has a lot to do really ultimately with the offensive line play and the quarterbacks in the game right now. And we'll see whether or not a lot of the young quarterbacks in the game end up becoming the next, you know, group of great ones. But, you know, right now, of the best quarterbacks that have been around for a while, you know, I'm not talking about Allen, Mahomes, and Jackson, but, you know, a guy like Stafford, a guy like Cousins who has put up big numbers, right? Okay, forget about the win-loss and the, you know, not winning the big whatever. But we're going to need CJ Strouds and some of the young guys of the last couple of years and then the young guys that were drafted this year to really start to take over. You know, Prescott's got to have a big year. He actually, you know, Dallas won with defense as much as they did with offense on Sunday. I don't know if it's defenses catching up with offenses. I think it's more the quarterbacks and the offensive line as much as anything else. And early season acting more as, you know, preseasons of past.
It really shows then how great Stafford is. I just texted you this, by the way. I saw the PFF offensive line grades, and the Rams had the worst offensive line of week one, and Stafford was still able to put up some of the best numbers against a defense that is looked at as a pretty good defense.
He's a damn good quarterback.
By the way, Washington in the top 10 for offensive line play, according to PFF.
God, man, I watched a little bit more of the game yesterday, focused more on just the O-line specifically. I thought Wiley was a turnstile at times. I know that the advanced numbers seem to kind of boost Wiley a little bit more than we thought last year. I don't think he's very good. Do you?
No, I don't. But I did think that both Quorn Lucas and Brandon Coleman, when he got in on the left side, played
Coleman
really well.
Coleman got turned one time pretty badly.
He did. But did you see, I saw this video, I think it was yesterday, 2 days ago, on one of Jaden's scrambles, how Brandon Coleman was running essentially side by side, but he came from the left side to where Jaden's running. He stepped up and ran to the right, and then Brandon Coleman cuts all the way across the field and is running side by side with him.
Yeah, he's athletic. There's no doubt. I mean, like, I'm just looking right now. CBS Sports did, you know, their tiers of quarterbacks before the season started. The big three, Mahomes, Jackson, Allen. Okay. Tier two, Burrow, Stroud, Jordan Love. I mean, I know Stroud had a terrific rookie year. He's in his second year. Jordan Love had a nice first year starting. He's in basically his second year of starting. That's not great quarterback depth when you go into a season saying that C.J. Stroud and Jordan Love essentially are top six quarterbacks in the game. You know, then the next group includes guys like Purdy and Goff. I mean, that's where we are with quarterbacks right now. All right, we're going to talk Giants with Art Stapleton, who covers the Giants for USA Today. That's next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the Team980.com. We are also free and live on the Odyssey app.